Are you afraid of the dark? Are you afraid of the dark? I think this gal is, okay? It is a common enough fear among children, but you know, many adults are afraid of the dark as well. A recent survey of 2,000 adults in the United Kingdom found that 40% of us are scared when walking around the house with the lights off. I see some heads nodding. Probably some elbows are being thrown at the same time, yeah. 1 in 10 admitted that they were too terrified even to get up for a toilet trip in the darkness. I'm not sure what the alternative is there. Not very pleasant to think about, but apparently that's an issue. So fear of the dark. It's usually not fear of darkness itself, is it? It's more of a fear of all those possible or imagined dangers that are concealed by or in the darkness. Well, I want you to think with me today about darkness. Not literal darkness, but instead about the dark valleys that we have to walk through in and through life. This Lenten season, we're reflecting on Psalm 23, verse by verse, week to week. Why Psalm 23? What does Psalm 23 have to do with Holy Week and Good Friday and Easter? Well, I believe it was Jesus himself who made the connection, because he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." So there it is. You see the connection. And over and over again in the Bible, God or Jesus is compared to a shepherd, and human beings are compared to sheep. And one of the best examples of this sheep and shepherd metaphor or analogy is Psalm 23, one of the most well-known passages in all of the Bible. And the more that we understand about literal sheep and shepherds, the more we understand some remarkable spiritual parallels to God's relationship with you and me. So each week we read Psalm 23 out loud and together in a different English version. And we've read it in the New International Version, the New King James Version, the New Living Translation. And today I want you to read out loud together with me the 23rd Psalm in what's called the New Revised Standard Version. So if you would, just look up here at the projector slides, and just read with me out loud the 23rd Psalm. Let's share it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. So already during this Lenten season, we've reflected on how Jesus, our Good Shepherd, provides for us, how he restores us, how he guides us through life. And today we're going to reflect on how Jesus protects us, how he protects us. And that truth is found primarily in the first part of verse 4, which says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me." And I want you to notice something interesting as we begin today. A personal pronoun changes in verse 4 from what we have earlier in verses 1, 2, and 3. He changes to you. So you see there in the first three verses, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths. But for the rest of the psalm, beginning with verse 4, the pronoun changes from he to you. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. So why does that matter? Well, it's as if David, the author of Psalm 23, wants to underline even more the intimacy, the personal connection that he felt between himself and the Lord. And so as I reflected on this one verse this past week, two great truths emerged for me that I want to share with you. Here's the first one. My shepherd leads me through dark valleys intentionally, not accidentally. My shepherd leads me through dark valleys intentionally, not accidentally. Many of us have got that phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, kind of permanently ingrained in our memory. Maybe we memorize the 23rd Psalm using that particular phrase. And as a result, we often think that David had death or dying on his mind primarily. And that's probably not the case. A better translation of that key Hebrew word there is simply the darkest valley, as in, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. And so that widens considerably what David might have been thinking about. Yes, I'm sure it included the experience of death and dying, no doubt. I mean, who would deny today that's a profound dark valley, whether it's the death of someone that we love or perhaps as we are looking our own death in the face. But life has a lot of dark valleys, doesn't it? Chronic illness, money problems like debt, losing your job, battles with depression and anxiety, broken relationships between parents and kids, divorce, loneliness, addiction, being rejected, being treated unfairly, or being persecuted for following Jesus. And we could just go on and on. Those are just a few other dark valleys that we experience in this life beyond death and dying. Now remember, as a young man, David was a literal shepherd and he took care of literal sheep. And from what I've been told, the country of Israel is filled with lots of kind of wild, gloomy, dark valleys or deep ravines through which shepherds lead and guide their sheep. Well, why would they do that? Why did they do that? Well, it was common practice to move sheep from one pasture to another pasture so they could access better food. And so every year there was kind of a migration that occurred. During the summer months, a shepherd would lead his sheep up through these dark kind of valleys and ravines up to higher kind of hilly areas. And he'd often spend weeks and months up there alone with his flock. And then when winter returned, he would lead them back down through these same dark valleys to lower pastures. And these valleys, these ravines, were often treacherous places where both sheep and shepherds could get into trouble. How so? Well, I mean, there were predators like wolves and mountain lions that could hide in the dark shadows and suddenly attack the shepherd or the sheep as they made their way from one pasture to the next. Or a sudden thunderstorm might come up and all of a sudden you'd have a flash flood raging through a valley. Or there were rock slides, avalanches. Those were a common occurrence. And then sometimes there would be poisonous weeds in these valleys and the shepherd would have to kind of make sure that his sheep weren't sampling that stuff on their way from one pasture to another. So here's the irony. Here was the irony. On the one hand, these dark valleys were the easiest way, often the only way, to get sheep from one pasture up to another pasture, or from inferior pasture to better pasture. These dark valleys oftentimes had good pasture. I mean, the sheep would eat as they moved along, and sometimes they were well watered as well. And so there was some necessity to go through these dark valleys, and there was provision in these dark valleys. But on the other hand, these dark valleys were often dangerous. They were treacherous places for both sheep and shepherds. And last week, we looked at that phrase earlier in the psalm, right paths, as in he leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And here's the thing, folks. It's easy to assume that David meant right paths were only those paths in life that led to green pastures and beside still waters. That's wrong. David said here that taking sheep through these dark valleys was one of those right paths too. That's implied here. In fact, it was just a necessary part of good shepherding. Sure, you could just be a lazy shepherd and allow your sheep to overgraze a specific pasture, but if you wanted your sheep to be well-fed and to prosper, you took them through these dark valleys and subjected them to potential dangers and threats. It was just a part of the deal, whether you liked it or not. Okay, so let's try and understand the spiritual analogy that David made here. Dark valleys in your life and mine represent all of those difficult circumstances that we experience as followers of Jesus in this life. Not just death and dying, that's one obviously, but any major disappointment, any massive discouragement, any heart-wrenching dilemma that life throws at us. And here's the thing, folks, listen, walking through dark valleys spiritually is a necessary part of following Jesus. That's what David is implying here. Walking through those dark valleys is a necessary part of following Jesus. You see, most of us are kind of programmed, and I think particularly in the United States, to believe that God only wants us to experience the easy things, the pleasant things, and the beautiful things in life. And we have a hard time getting our faith around the idea that going through spiritually dark valleys could ever be God's will for you and for me. And so we resist the truth that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, considers a dark valley experience to be a right path. We don't think of a dark valley being a right path, but it can be. My shepherd leads me through dark valleys intentionally. Not accidentally. Well, why? Why on earth would Jesus do this? He's the Good Shepherd after all. Why would he take us through dark valleys in life? Well, I can think of at least three reasons. First, it's necessary to develop spiritual maturity. Growing spiritually is often thought of as getting to higher ground. Maybe you've heard that kind of terminology, getting to a higher and a more elevated place in your personal relationship with God. And followers of Jesus sometimes talk about mountaintop experiences, don't we? Where, we took a big step forward in our spiritual life in some way. We had a mountaintop experience. And sometimes, folks, we believe wrong ideas on how you have mountaintop experiences or how you move up and forward in your relationship with God. It never happens on its own. And you know what else? Nobody ever gets airlifted to higher ground spiritually. Doesn't happen that way. As with literal sheep, so with spiritual sheep, God's people, you only ever get to higher ground by walking through dark valleys with Jesus, your good shepherd. Literally and spiritually, you can only ever get up to a mountain by way of a valley. That's how it happens. And many of those dark valleys in life are anything but pleasant. They can be very hard. They can be very scary. But along the way, Jesus uses those dark valley experiences to create spiritual stamina if we endure in and through them. And Jesus assumes this. One place where he put it rather bluntly. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Insert dark valleys. Okay? Here on earth, you will have many dark valleys. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So the question is not whether you and I are going to have dark valley experiences in life. You're going to have them. I'm going to have them. All God's children are going to have dark valleys. But the question is, how are we going to react to them? Will we sort of give up following Jesus, and will we sink into despair and self-pity? Or will we follow the Good Shepherd like obedient sheep, quietly and calmly facing every adversity that comes before us in life? What's the point of Jesus leading us through dark valleys? Well, secondly, it's necessary for learning how to trust God regardless. How to trust God regardless. It's easy to trust God when things are going well, but when you've got a dark valley that you're walking through, that's when it's tougher, isn't it? And I'm constantly amazed to see how much this matters to God. Once you get through some dark valley spiritual experience, it provides an opportunity to look back and reflect on God's faithfulness. And that was also true in David's life. I mean, many of you know the story of David. Remember his predecessor, King Saul? He became so jealous of David that he threw a spear at him, tried to pin him to the wall. And then for several years, King Saul chased David all around Israel, the country of Israel, trying to kill him. David had to hide out in caves just to stay alive. But David learned that God protected him from all of Saul's murderous plans, and he only learned that wonderful truth of God's protection as a result of that dark valley experience. You would not have known it otherwise. And so there's a principle there that was true for David, and it's also true for you and me. It's in the dark valley experiences of life that we learn that God's grace truly is sufficient. You know, that great Christian leader, Paul, has something in his life that he called a thorn in the flesh. Nobody really knows what it was, but it was a dark valley of some kind in Paul's life. And he asked God to take it out of his life, but Jesus, the Good Shepherd, had an interesting response to Paul's prayer. Paul said, three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults. Here's some dark valleys, folks. In the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. Here's a third reason why Jesus, our Good Shepherd, leads us through dark valleys in life. It's necessary for being a blessing to other people. Because only those who have been in life's dark valleys and walk through them with Jesus close by them, can provide you and me the right kind of comfort and encouragement when we walk through our own dark valleys. Just a few examples. I mean, someone who has walked through, let's say, the dark valley of cancer, and they've survived. They can provide better comfort to someone walking through that same valley today. Someone who has walked through the dark valley of divorce and survived can provide better comfort to someone walking that same valley today. someone who has walked through the dark valley of losing a loved one to death and survived can provide better comfort to someone walking in that same valley today. That's just the way it is. And folks, we need to understand that life is going to cut some deep valleys into your life and mine. Yes? It will. Life is going to cut some deep valleys into our lives. But if you give those dark valleys to Jesus trustingly, he can make them a channel whereby others receive God's blessing. God's grace can flow out and down and through those dark valleys in your life and mine out to other people. He can and he will make you and me a blessing to others. If we want to be a blessing, he will do that. I was reading again the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis this past week in my personal devotional time, and I was struck again how Joseph's experience illustrates verse 4 of Psalm 23 so well. I mean, talk about a man whose life was filled with some dark valleys. He was born into maybe the world's most dysfunctional family ever. You say a dysfunctional family is a dark valley? Oh yes, it is. And if you've come out of one, you know what a dark valley it can be. If you're in one now, you know what a dark valley it can be. Remember, Joseph was his dad, Jacob's favorite son. But he was one of 12 brothers born to four different mothers. Imagine that dynamic going on. His family was full of favoritism, jealousy, immorality, even idolatry. It was all there in Joseph's family. It was a mess, a real mess. And just being born into that kind of a family qualifies as a dark valley. Well, but it got worse from there, folks. You know the story. Joseph's brothers hated him so much they actually sold him as a slave and told their father, Jacob, he'd been killed by a wild animal. You thought your siblings didn't like you. Well, it can get worse. Okay? Talk about a dark valley. And then as a slave in Egypt, Joseph became the manager for his rich owner's home and business. And Joseph resisted his owner's wife's invitation to have an affair. And then as revenge for being rejected, she accused Joseph of attempted rape. Joseph goes off. He's thrown into prison now for several years. Punished for doing the right thing in life. He'd acted with integrity, and the direct result was adversity. Another dark valley. And then, well, as you know, God gave Joseph the ability to interpret dreams, and he correctly interpreted some dreams for two of Pharaoh's officials and asked one of them to help him get out of jail, sort of as a way of compensation. And the official, of course, conveniently forgot all about Joseph, who languished for two more years in prison. Dark valley. Well, then, and Pharaoh had these dreams that no one else could interpret, and his official finally remembered Joseph, who was summoned to an audience before Pharaoh, and he correctly interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and got put in charge of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself in terms of power and influence. It's a great story. It has a wonderful ending. But here's what's remarkable to me about Joseph's story. At least in Scripture, God never explained even once of Joseph's dark valley experiences to Joseph. He never said to Joseph, "Joseph, look, I know what's happening here is really terrible, but here's my plan, here's my purpose, it'll all make sense, 10 years from now." No, he just expected Joseph to trust him regardless. And Joseph never despaired. Joseph never gave up on God. He never assumed that God had abandoned him. His dark valleys apparently resulted in an amazing spiritual maturity. And at the end of the story, we see God using Joseph as a channel of immense blessing to his own family. Because through Joseph, God rescued his entire family from starvation. And one of the most remarkable human statements in all of the Bible is uttered by Joseph when he basically offers forgiveness to those worthless brothers of his. Remember what he said? Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for it intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. Remarkable. Folks, my shepherd, your shepherd, leads us through dark valleys intentionally, not accidentally, intentionally. Here's a second great truth. My shepherd invites me to find comfort in his presence, not in my circumstances. Find comfort in his presence, not in my circumstances. You see, most of the time we want to find comfort and peace in good, favorable circumstances in our lives. I mean, who doesn't? That's just understandable, right? I mean, when you don't have to slog through some dark valley, you just feel better about your life. Who doesn't? But the good shepherd of your life and mine has a different agenda. He's got a different perspective. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for why? Tell me. You are with me. See that? You are with me. At the end of the day, the good shepherd wants us to find our comfort in him, in his presence, not in our circumstances. You know, some people think, and some even preach, you can hear them often on the radio and the TV, that God always wants to deliver us from every bad or painful circumstance in our lives. They teach and they believe what has sometimes been called a health and wealth gospel. God never wants you to be sick. God never wants you to have a financial difficulty ever in your life. God never wants you to experience a dark valley in life. Every dark valley is a satanic attack. Well, your good shepherd never leads you through or into a dark valley that does not have an intention behind it. He wants to do something. And so if you believe that God does not allow dark valleys, you don't understand Scripture. In fact, such a thought contradicts God's word. It contradicts Psalm 23, where we're told that some dark valleys in life can be a part of the right paths that the Good Shepherd wants us to walk through. Not all of them, to be sure. I mean, some dark valleys that you and I get ourselves into are just a result of our own stupidity and sin. Sure. I mean, those aren't dark valleys that the Good Shepherd has necessarily planned for us. But folks, not every dark valley in life is the consequence of our own stupidity and sin. Many dark valleys happen to followers of Jesus who are living godly lives. It just happened. And over again in the Bible, we're told to put our security and our comfort and our sense of ultimate security in a good God. Not in good circumstances, in a good shepherd, not in good situations. Here's a few examples, just from Scripture. Moses told the people of Israel this: when, not if, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is what? Presence, his presence. In another psalm, David wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" And then through the prophet Isaiah, God also said this to his people, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When, not if, you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When, not if, you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When, not if, you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Do not be afraid." Why? "For I am with you." You know, I'm told that sheep are fearful and skittish by nature. I guess just like human beings, it doesn't take much to terrify them. And apparently what calms sheep down more than anything else is to be able to just look up and see their shepherd right there in the pasture with them. Being able to see that shepherd leading the way down through some dark valley. And David learned the hard way that when he came to those dangerous and dark valleys in his life, he didn't have to be afraid because the shepherd of his life was with him and would protect him. And he learned that great spiritual truth, not because there was an absence of dark valleys in David's life, but instead of God's presence and his protection right in the midst of them. And so when you find yourself in some dark valley of life experience, you're invited to find hope and peace and freedom from fear and anxiety in this simple fact: Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is with you. He's with you. And like a good shepherd, David realized that God was with him in every situation, in every dark trial, in every dismal disappointment, in every distressing dilemma. The good shepherd is not just walking in front of you, leading the way, but he's walking right beside you as you stumble along. And that's where you and I ultimately find confidence and inspiration and comfort and joy. You know, someone that I was reading this week on this subject made a good thought. He said, you know, what we need is maybe a new definition of courage. A new definition of courage. Think about what kind of courage a sheep needs. It certainly does not need courage to fight its enemies on its own or in its own strength. I don't care how big a sheep you are. You are defenseless against the smallest wolf and the smallest mountain lion. You don't have a chance. A sheep finds courage by trusting in its shepherd. And even when it sees a dangerous predator nearby, it looks up and it sees the shepherd and it goes right back to grazing. That takes courage. So what kind of courage do you need as a follower of Jesus? Folks, we do not need courage to fight our own battles in our own strength. We sang about that in one of our songs about the Lord fighting our battles, right? It's exactly right. Folks, remember what the Bible tells us about our real enemies. They're scary. I mean, our greatest enemies, you can't even see them. They aren't even flesh and blood. I mean, they could easily destroy any of us if it wasn't for the presence of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So courage for you and me is not learning how to fight our own battles better. It's learning how to trust in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, even more, even more. Well, let me just kind of bring this to a conclusion this morning by asking you this question. What dark valley are you walking through this morning? Now you may say, you know, Rick, things are going pretty well. I don't really think I'm in a dark valley. God bless you. I am happy for you. I really am. But you know as well as I do that all of us are going to have a dark valley, right? So sooner or later, you're going to walk through one. I'm going to walk through one. And it may be that you're walking through a dark valley today. Loss of a job, cancer or some other life-threatening disease, divorce or just marital upset, excessive debt, broken relationships, the death of someone you love. Maybe you're even looking your own death in the face. If you are one of Jesus's flock, one of his sheep, you are not walking any of those dark valleys yourself. You are not alone. Yes, you may have been abandoned by family and friends, but you've never been abandoned by God. So don't go around trying to measure the size of your mountain. Instead, talk to the one who can move it. Don't carry the world on your shoulders. Talk to the one who holds the universe on his shoulders effortlessly. And don't be terrified by the darkness of the valley that you're walking through this morning. Talk to the one who can lead you through it. That's real courage for real sheep. God made a wonderful promise to one of his sheep, Jacob. You know, Joseph's father, we talked about Joseph earlier in Jacob's life when he was a young man. This is what God said to Jacob on one occasion. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. That is a promise that all of Jesus' sheep, you and me, can claim for ourselves. Dr. Gardner Taylor, well-known, highly regarded pastor and preacher back in the 20th century, passed away a couple of years ago, 2015. And when Gardner Taylor was a young man, he had the opportunity to go and preach at a small little country church out in the middle of nowhere, out in the state of Louisiana. It was during the Depression, and electricity was just coming into that part of the country. And so here it was. It was nighttime, way out in the boonies in Louisiana, and Gardner Taylor was holding forth the Word of God. And right in the middle of his message, the electricity went out. And that little sanctuary, I mean, it went pitch black. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Well, Gardner Taylor was a young man. He got kind of flustered, and he started to lose his way a little bit as he was preaching. And finally, an elderly deacon who was sitting in the back of the church cried out to him, "Preach on, preacher. We can still see Jesus in the dark." "Preach on, preacher. We can still see Jesus in the dark." Can you see Jesus in the dark? Can you? Sometimes that's the best place to see Jesus. When we're going through some dark valley of life experience, sometimes that's when Jesus shows up the most, and we see him for who he truly is. But some additional good news. Whether you and I can see Jesus in the dark or not, this Good Shepherd, aren't you glad this morning that Jesus can see you and me in the dark just fine? And that's what matters. even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." May we find comfort in his presence and not in the circumstances of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, none of us like dark valleys. Everyone in this room has been in one, or will be in one sooner or later. Lord, they're not enjoyable. Oftentimes they are painful and distressing beyond words. But Lord, what we need to think about and reflect upon today is just the wonderful truth that you sometimes lead us in and through those dark valleys intentionally. It's there that we find comfort, not in how well our circumstances are going, but rather simply in your presence. And so, Father, we thank you for that wonderful reminder today. And I pray, Father, I pray for those who are here today and they're just walking through some dark valley. In fact, I'm just gonna ask you this morning. I'm not gonna ask you to tell us what your dark valley is, but I'm just gonna ask you to raise your hand. Just say, "Pastor, I'm going through a valley today." Would you just raise your hand this morning anywhere? Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. Jesus, you're the good shepherd. You know what those valleys are, each and every one. They each have a name. You know what they are. And we just simply ask in the name of Jesus that you show up in those valleys, that our brothers and sisters here today would see Jesus in the dark. And they would find his grace and his love wonderfully sufficient to meet them there. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.